Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can partake of the broadcast and pose your question and seek the answers for your real-life issues. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. It's Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you, so give us a call right now to 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's the good news. Jesus Christ is alive. That resurrection, that is the hinge on which all of Christianity turns. It's the linchpin of our faith, the very substance of our faith. And the way he expresses his life here today is through his body. He's the head. We are the bodies. That's what it means to be in Christ. When we come to Christ, we are attached to the body of Christ. We are in him, as Paul wrote in Romans 12, 4 through 5, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Boy, what a powerful statement. Yeah. God saves us individually, but then he places us into this body of Christ. And this resurrected life of Christ is expressed through us, both individually and corporately as a body of believers. And that's how God designed it. And when we understand that, boy, you know, incredible things happen in this world. When we look at the church and look at what the body of Christ is and attribute some other function than what God has called us to be, that's when we mess things up. But when we realize that we can be the expression of Christ's life here and now, that's when it gets really exciting. So what does it mean to be in Christ? It means that you're no longer in Adam, but you're in Christ. It means that you're no longer in sin and death, but you're in life. It means that you're no longer in darkness, but that you're in light, the kingdom of the Son in whom God loves. That's good news. It also means that we're a part of the body of Christ, that we belong, that we are one little piece of this people of God called the church.
Yeah.
That's good news.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, and this is where you hear good news every day right here on your radio dial. We would love for you to be a part of the broadcast by calling 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. We await your calls right now. Again, 1-800-677-9377. An interesting question from Brittany. Let me read a passage of Scripture, and she has a question about it. This is Revelation 21, 5 through 8, which reads, "And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of living water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So Brittany's question is, she would like to know why God lumps the cowardly in with the rest of that lineup. Why does God hate cowardliness?
Well, I think it takes some guts to believe Jesus, to trust Jesus. The cowardly shrink away from this new life that's available to them.
That's the issue, right?
That's exactly the issue. I mean, there's this whole world system that is against Christ and is against the gospel message. There's this whole world system that hates Jesus, that hates those who follow Jesus. So there's a cost. And so it takes a lot of bravery, a lot of courage to believe the message regarding Christ. There are people, when they believe, they're ostracized. They're kicked out of their families. They lose all of their history, so to speak. They're just thrown out on the street. So it takes some courage for them to believe. And for us here in America, it's kind of easy to believe, but it's becoming more and more difficult. Why? Because the critics are their voices are getting louder and louder. So it takes some courage, and those who are cowardly shrink away from that from that moment of faith, and they just kind of seep back into the world system and allow the world system to control them.
Yeah. Hebrews 10:35-39, of course, confirms just exactly what you were saying. It's those who shrink back.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Well, again, 1-800-677-9377. Those lines are wide open, and we want to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to add to the broadcast, some particular issue you'd like us to discuss, if there's a Bible passage you can't quite understand, this is the best opportunity you're going to have today, because the lines, as I said, are wide open, and the time and running on the clock, plenty of it, so we can fully discuss your particular issue or your question. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, as phone calls start to come in, I wanted to mention this to our listeners today. We had a luncheon for Jeannie Thompson, who's been our longtime receptionist and editor, and she's just been a godsend to this ministry. Well, Friday is her last day with the ministry. She's officially going into retirement.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe, maybe. She's tried to do that in the past, and somehow the Lord always brings her back. But if you have called our ministry, you have talked to Jeannie, you know she's the sweetest lady on the planet. She gives this ministry a wonderful first impression.
Right.
She exudes the love of Christ, the joy of Christ, and we've just been privileged to work with her for so many years. And I know many of you out there appreciate her as well. And so if you do, I'm asking you to jot her a note, send her an email. And the best way to do that is simply to send it to Bob@basicgospel.net.
Yeah.
That's Bob@basicgospel.net. So if you have a good word, a well wish to send to Jeannie, please take advantage of that avenue, Bob@basicgospel.net. She will love hearing from you, and I think it will be a great encouragement for her as she's encouraged us and has encouraged so many of you out there. Let's return that back to her a hundredfold with encouragement back.
And she's going to be so surprised because she doesn't know that you were going to do that.
Well, so
unless she's listening. Right,
that's
now.
Right, yeah. And she could be listening.
She
also
might be.
Right. Yes, yes, indeed. Also want to mention an upcoming event with Andrew Farley. This impacts our listenership in the Louisville area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're tuned in right now and you're interested in hearing some dynamic, life-changing New Covenant teaching, you have that opportunity this weekend at Grace Heartland Church in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Our good friend Tom Lirrett, who is a CPA there, who's been listening to Basic Gospel for many, many years, listened to it as people to people. His life has been changed, and he is so passionate about sharing this good news. And so he invited Andrew to come and be a part of their fellowship this weekend. So there's a Saturday night service. I think that starts at 6 p.m. and then Sunday morning for their regular services. So if you're interested, you can call Tom at 270-769-1808. That's 270-769-1808.
And if you have the opportunity, don't miss Andrew. He is a dynamic teacher, as you've heard on this broadcast.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Payette, Idaho, and talk with LaVonna. Hi, LaVonna.
Good afternoon.
And to you as well.
I was wondering, you were talking about that when you accept Jesus Christ, you're under a new covenant.
That's correct.
Now, okay, if the ones that have not accepted Jesus Christ, are they still under the Abrahamic covenant if you're Jewish? And then, like, it even goes back to Genesis 9 when Moses puts the curse on Ham and Canaan and their descendants. Are they still under that curse?
Well, LaVonna, the world is under the law of sin and death. That was put forth to Adam and Eve in the garden, actually to Adam by God. The minute that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you're going to die. And so his sin was to believe the lie of Satan. So he came into this world with a believing heart. That heart became an unbelieving heart. And death entered the world at that moment, and death spread to all men because all have sinned. That's what Paul talks about in Romans 5. So everyone, whether Jew or Gentile, is under that universal law. We're under the condemnation of sin and death. And Christ's death, burial, and resurrection releases us from that law of sin and death. So there's the Abrahamic covenant, there's the Mosaic covenant, there's quite a number of covenants all along the way, but all of those were to help us identify our real condition apart from Christ, and a plan of salvation in Christ that has come to fruition in this new covenant. So a Jew, they may be trying to abide by the Mosaic covenant, but if they haven't accepted Christ, they're really under that universal law of sin and death. And a Gentile who hasn't accepted Christ is under that same condemnation.
But aren't the Jewish still God's chosen people? I mean, they still have a special place, even though they have not accepted Christ.
They have a special place, and they certainly had an incredible purpose. To think that God called out Abraham from among all the other men that were living at that particular time, and he said, you know, get up from where you are. I'm going to take you to a place, and then through your seed, I'm going to bless the world. And then as we look through the Old Testament, we trace that seed. We trace that bloodline from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, from Jacob to Judah, from Judah all the way down through David, and then from David all the way down to Mary and Joseph, and then Jesus. And so their purpose was to be the bloodline for the Messiah. And now that the seed has come, all the world can be blessed through him. Now, certainly God has a special place in his heart for the Jewish people, and there's going to be a point in time where he circles back to them. Right now, just a remnant are being saved, as Paul talks about in Romans 11. But they're saved by grace, just as we are saved by grace. Otherwise, there would be no salvation. So this remnant is being saved by grace, but there's going to be a point in time where all of the Jewish people, I'm assuming, that are alive at that particular time will see Jesus for who he is, and they will have the opportunity. And as Paul writes, all Israel will be saved. So that's kind of how it's laid out in the Word of God, Lavanna.
Well, now, okay, so we have the Christians and we have the Israelites. Now, what about the line of Abraham, Ishmael, Kedar, and Mohammed?
Well, we have that line. I mean, that's there. I mean, how God looks at things is very simply, he looks at Jews and Gentiles. That's how he kind of groups everybody. If you're not Jewish, then you're Gentile. And then he says this gospel message is for both the Jew, first the Jew, and then the Gentile. So everyone has an opportunity to be saved. And that ties into the blessing of God to Abraham, that all nations will be blessed through his seed. So it doesn't matter. There's life available to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord.
And when I kind of look upon the Old Testament, it kind of shows us what humanity is like until they accept Christ.
Not a pretty picture, is
it?
Yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
No. Yeah. And you know, and even today, if they have not accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah, well, we can
I mean, there are good people that have not accepted Christ.
That's exactly. That's exactly right. And that's why it's so important, Lavanna, for us to realize what is kind of the linchpin for us. What is that that critical question that we all have to ask? And it's, what will you do with Jesus? So the condemnation isn't because we've committed these sins. The condemnation is because folks have rejected Jesus. That is the sin. That is the unpardonable sin. And that's why God's Spirit is going through the world today, convicting the world of sin, that they do not believe in Jesus. He wants to turn those unbelieving hearts into hearts that believe in the one whom God sent, Jesus Christ, who is both Lord and God.
Okay, Thank you very much.
You're welcome, LaVonna. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, good questions today.
1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us. Please join us by phone again at 1-800-677-9377. Kind of moving in a different direction here. A question from a listener in New Jersey. What is your position on Freemasonry?
What is our position? Well, it's a wonderful civic group. You know, through their history, they've done lots of wonderful things for community, for society, and all of that. But it is a group that has religious overtones, and some of those religious overtones are not biblical in nature. They have a tradition much like Mormonism. There's 33 different levels. That is a system that is based on works, that we can climb this ladder. The 33 represents the 33 different vertebrae that we have in our spines. We start at the base, and we try to work our way up the base into this state of enlightenment. And that's what it means once you reach the 33rd level. Mormonism has the same type of structure, but it is a works-based mentality.
Right.
So it's not biblical in that sense. We've spoken to this in the past when we've had many in Masonry write to us and say we just don't know what we're talking about, but we do know what we're talking about here. You know, it's like I said, if you're in it and you feel good about the civic things that you're doing and the good stuff that you are providing, that's a wonderful thing. But don't hold on to it as your basis of salvation. Don't hold on to it as your entry into God's presence. There's only one way. His name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So we can't combine those two and hopefully come up with a good system that's going to work. It's not going to work. You can't combine anything with Jesus. It's Jesus only,
right.
Period.
Forever.
And if we hold on to anything else, that's a sad place to be.
Yes, indeed. Well, still some time, friends. Give us your call, 1-800-677-9377. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Before we do that, Richard, a couple of weeks ago, Leonardo called us, and he had a question about Hebrews chapter 12, there's a verse in there that says, without the holiness, we will not be able to see God. And that's a passage that I think you read, and you know, if you're not sure what it means, you read over pretty quickly and you keep moving. But it has some important significance to us. What in the world is the writer of Hebrews getting at when he talks about without holiness, you will never see God?
Well, there's this running argument through the whole letter to the Hebrews about giving up on your old traditions and the things you thought were putting you in right standing with God, were making you holy, and to put those away, let them fade away because they're obsolete now, and come to Jesus 100%. And the statement is absolutely true. Without holiness, we will never see God. We never will. But there's good news. Jesus has declared us to be holy because he is the one who completed the work. And we get a chance, if we will respond to him by faith, to have that declaration made of us as his children. As soon as a person is born again, that person becomes a child of the living God, a co-heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus is and has is given to us, and we get to spend the rest of our lives discovering the infinite variety and facets and majesty of all of that. And one of those things is holiness. And so if we're seeking holiness on the basis of tradition or behavior or good effort, we'll never get there and we'll never see God. But if we will accept Jesus by faith, which is what the writer to the Hebrews is constantly begging his readers to do, come to Jesus, let him be everything, then we will be holy because he is holy.
So you're saying that all of us as believers in Christ have been made holy.
Been declared to be holy.
That's good news,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, what happens when God speaks? It is.
Yes.
It is so.
That's exactly right.
And if he calls me holy or calls you holy because we're in Christ, guess what? We're holy.
Yeah. Right. Love what he had to say in Hebrews 10:10. And by that will, the will of God the Father, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. You can work for holiness, you'll never get it. Mm-hmm. You can receive it by faith. Because it's a gift of grace given to you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
When you receive it, you've been made holy. That's good news.
That's good news, and that lasts forever.
Yes, it does. Well, let's go to Jose in the Bronx listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jose.
Hi. I'm calling concerning the women's role in the in pastorship and deacons.
Well, Jose, when you read the Word of God, when you read passages, for example, in Timothy and passages in Titus, everything as far as qualifications for ministry, qualifications for eldership, qualifications for deacons, they're directed toward men. And it's written from a man's perspective. You should be the husband of one wife. You should be above reproach. You should be able to teach. So all of those things are directed toward men. Yet when we look, for example, through the book of Acts, we see women in prominent leadership roles. So how could that be? And it's because God ordained it. It's because God, worked in a woman's heart and moved her to provide leadership at a time that leadership was needed or a ministry was needed. So we can't just be totally male dominated in that sense. I think there is significant roles that women play, that they have played in the past, and that they're currently playing right now, and so we should give honor to those. Now, as far as having authority over men, that passage in Second Timothy, which is a very, I think, misunderstood passage. I think in that day it had a cultural reference to some women trying to bring some erroneous teaching based on kind of their past, their history. He say, no, we're not going to allow you to have authority like that. So I think that's what he was talking about. But certainly there is a place to say, as far as women being pastors, overseers, as over a body, that may just be a male role. Well, Jose, I hope that helps. We're out of time today,
yes,
but we sure appreciate your call.
Yeah, an excellent new product for you, friends. Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. It addresses the need every Christian faces at one time or another, how to walk by faith and apply that faith to everyday life. It's a series containing 6 sessions, a bonus roundtable discussion, and the Q&A session. And the messages by Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch will anchor you to the life and love of the Lord Jesus Christ and enable you to stand firm through the trials of life. It's available in DVD form and CD form, MP3 formats as well. And through this Friday, September 19th only, you'll get a discounted price, you'll get free shipping, you'll get access to 2 teleseminars hosted by Bob Christopher addressing the how of faith and faith in real life, focusing on marriage and money. And those are two pretty important subjects, I think you'll agree. Well, to order, call 1-800-727-2828 or go online to stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. And don't forget those particular blessings that we're offering you, the discounted price, the free shipping, and the teleseminars go away this Friday. So after that, the price goes up to its regular price, and we hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to get the discounted price. Call 1-800-727-2828 or go online to stand2014.com. Also, don't forget that this month, with your gift of any amount, you'll get the 4-message series by Bob Christopher called When God Is For You. All that information available at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now, for Bob and Richard and the ministry staff, we invite you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.